Lively Stones Meditations for 12th November 2023. The End of All Things. Reading from 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 7 to 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. War erupting in Gaza has brought the idea of the end of all things to the forefront of our minds, coming as it does hot on the heels of the Russian war in Ukraine. We stand horrified as our world seems to crumble about us. Surely, we are in the end times, and yet the Apostle Peter stated 2,000 years ago that the end of all things is at hand. The end times and the end of all things is an oft-repeated concept in Scripture, and furthermore, one whose meaning fluctuates depending on the context. In 1 Peter 4, the Apostle uses the word all to mean all, any, every, and the whole thing, which can be taken to refer to us either individually or collectively. We understand, of course, that in all things, God is in control. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Jeremiah 10:16. Jeremiah's verse tells us that our God is the maker of all things, and thus all things are his to dispose as he wills. Indeed, that we are all his inheritance. Everything is under his hand. It is therefore our expectation that this end of all things is either more at hand than ever before, or that maybe this is an exaggeration for effect. Certainly, we are beset by life-threatening events at every turn, so that if it is not climate change or war or a rise in charismatic to some world leaders bent on crazy agendas or the spread of civil discontent and disorder across the earth, then it is the besetting sin of humanity that is pulling the rug out from under itself. The truth is that the end of all things is an ever-present state of affairs. We neither know nor can ever know when that moment will finally dawn, even though we may think that we discern the signs. Only God knows. Thus, as believers with the hope of glory deep in us, we should turn our eyes from that satanic work, focusing instead on our Lord. Look to the light is the only way. Job 37 verse 21 says, "Even now men cannot look at the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them." But Matthew Henry makes this observation, "And in all the duties and services of life, we should aim at the glory of God as our chief end. He is a miserable, unsettled wretch who cleaves to himself and forgets God, is only perplexed about his credit and gain and base ends, which are often broken, and which, when he attains, both he and they must shortly perish together. That he who has given up himself and his all to God may say confidently that the Lord is his portion, and nothing but glory through Jesus Christ is solid and lasting, that abideth forever." meditate on these things. The whole world has gone after him. Did all the world go after Christ? Then went all Judea and were baptized of him in Jordan. Was all Judea or all Jerusalem baptized in Jordan? Ye are of God, little children, and the whole world lieth in the wicked one. Does the whole world there mean everybody? The words world and all are used in some 7 or 8 senses in Scripture, and it is very rarely the all means all persons taken individually. The words are generally used to signify that Christ has redeemed some of all sorts, some Jews, some Gentiles, some rich, some poor, and has not restricted his redemption to either Jew or Gentile. C.H. Spurgeon, Considering All Things, from a sermon on particular redemption. And finally, prayer requires worship. Prayer is the instrument of the life of worship. It is not worship itself. From Christian Discipline, Volume 2, by Oswald Chambers.